Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, so rocket man or woman or rocket person, I mean, picture this. You're floating up into Earth's upper atmosphere at a cool 12 miles per hour, ascending via a ship-launched balloon in a 16-foot spherical capsule up to 100,000 feet. That's more than 18 miles above the surface of the Earth. I'm game.
Okay, you are. You haven't even heard the whole thing yet.
Okay.
So about 3 hours into the journey, which, by the way, costs $125,000, you reach the apogee, where you're above 99% of the Earth's atmosphere. From there, you're able to look out the windows and see something very few people have been able to see. Large portions of land and sea, the rimmed curvature of the Earth, and of course, stars.
I feel like I'm watching PBS.
I know, it sounds pretty cool. It's probably why you have more than 1,700 people who've already signed up for this.
Very cool stuff. Well, it's all part of the experience Space Perspective is looking to provide. Joining us now from Florida's Space Coast is Jane Poynter. She's the co-founder and co-CEO of Space Perspective. Welcome. Tell us a little bit more about what you are doing and how you got to this point.
Well, hello. Yeah, so we are wanting to take as many people as possible to space. And you were saying in your intro how few people have been. So only 650 people have ever been to space in the entire history of humanity, which is kind of crazy to think about.
And that includes people like Jeff Bezos, who've gone via Blue Origin.
Or Neil Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. People who've walked on the moon. Includes everybody.
Yeah.
So everybody.
Do you consider
a tiny number of people?
Do you consider 100,000 feet above Earth space?
Oh, yeah, actually. So, I mean, look, it's an interesting question. There really is no universal definition of space, actually. And we, as you said, we are above 99% of the atmosphere. That last 1% stretches way past the International Space Station. So in essence, it's a space environment. It's a vacuum outside the enormous windows we fly to space. And then we're also regulated by the FAA's Office of Commercial Space Transportation as a spacecraft. So yeah, we're definitely in space. You could say we're at the edge of space.
But what would you say to critics who say, okay, we actually think, and like, again, there's no universal definition of it, but critics might say, okay, we think it's 100 kilometers above Earth. We think it's 330,000 feet, 62 miles.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's a little arbitrary. And the most important thing is that what our customers are getting is access to that quintessential astronaut experience of seeing Earth from space. I mean, that is what's important. And that's what we're offering. And we're offering it in a way that is really accessible, right? I mean, when most people think about space flight, they think about rockets. They think about the high G forces that some describe as like having an elephant sitting on your chest, or the, you know, the constricting spacesuits, the training, the uncomfortable capsule. I mean, let's face it, it may be thrilling for those who want that kind of thing, but it is not very comfortable. You're not going to take your family or your grandma on a rocket to space for the most part. However, what we are doing at Space Perspective is a very different kind of experience whereby it truly is something that you can take your family on. It's a family-friendly version of going to space because it's so gentle And then you get that outrageous view of seeing our Earth.
Help me out here. We're sharing some video with those who are watching on Bloomberg Streaming and on our YouTube channel. And I'm also looking at your website. So tell me, I'm seeing this white, it looks like a balloon. I mean, tell me how it all works. Yep. And are these actually up in space yet and tested, or give me an idea?
Yeah, so yes, what you're seeing there is a space balloon at the top, and then beneath it is a pressurized capsule. So if you can get on a commercial airplane, then you can get on Spaceship Neptune. That is the idea of the design. And indeed, many of these space balloons have been flown before. You know, most people have never heard of them, but they've actually been flown over 1,000 times by NASA, European Space Agency, by some of our team members as well. And in the last 20 years, there have been no incidents in space. So it's this legacy technology, mm-hmm. this what's technically called a zero pressure balloon that we're using. And actually, my co-founder and I have taken people higher than we're going. We've carried capsules larger and heavier than Spaceship Neptune. So we've really done every aspect of this before. And we did an initial test flight a couple of years ago. And now we're getting into a full-on series of uncrewed test flights with our test capsule, Excelsior, that is exactly the same as the one that we're all going to be flying to space on.
How does it get into space? What's the propulsion?
Oh, it's buoyancy control. Huh. So there's a gas inside the balloon that is lighter than the air around it.
Right.
And it literally lifts it up off the, you mentioned earlier that we do launch from a ship. So it lifts it up. And then once you're in space and, you know, we've hung out and hung at our bar and had your meal or whatever it is you're going to do in space, your wedding, played your music, we let out a little bit of gas, which then brings it very gently back down to the ocean for a splashdown. So it's exactly the same as, like, for example, you know, some people ask me, why doesn't it keep on going out to space?
Right.
Think of it like an ice cube floating on top of water. The space balloon is literally floating on top of the atmosphere.
So, Jane, one interesting thing about this is that you launch from a ship.
Yeah.
Why choose to launch from a ship in the ocean rather than from dry land?
Yeah, it was a game-changing decision for the company, actually. So you would think, surely it's easier, less complicated to launch from the land. Well, I mean, yes, I suppose. But the issue is, just like a rocket launch, there are weather sensitivities. So what the ship does for us, it does many things. We can move the ship with the wind and the direction of the wind, so we can create almost perfect launch conditions over the ship in really broad operating envelope. We can then move the ship to areas of good weather throughout the year. So now we've got reliable weather windows all year long, and we have this incredibly scalable operation because we can move it all over the world. We can also duplicate it very readily. And then we can do these spaceflight operations. We're going to initially start operating from the Florida region all the way around the peninsula in the Caribbean. And then we're going to have these same kinds of operations all over the world. So it is just completely enabling for the company.
And you're up actually in, I don't know, do I say orbit, or you're up for about 6 hours or so? That's kind of your average
trip?
Yeah,
so think of it as a suborbital flight. And so our initial flights are 6 hours. So it takes about 2 hours to go up. You're up there roughly 2 hours and then 2 hours to come back down. And of course, we do have thoughts of, wouldn't it be awesome to do an overnight in space or even a couple of nights in space? And we can do that with the current technology without really pushing the tech much at all.
I have a question, though. Everything that's on the website, is that actual things that have happened or is that visualizations?
So there's a bit of both.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of renders, right? So the way we visualize it for people is to show the renderings of the entire flight. However, last week we did actually unveil the completed capsule, and it looks so like the render that I actually have to tell people it is not a rendering. But it is the real thing.
Just give us an update on the timeline when you actually expect to fly people for the first time.
Right. So we're going to be getting into uncrewed test flights just in a few weeks. We're going to do roughly 10 of those, assuming we get through all the safety gates. And then we'll be getting into human test flights, crewed test flights, around Q3, Q4 this year.
Okay.
And then getting into commercial flights around the end of the year, early next.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
I want to bring back Jane Poynter, the co-founder and co-CEO of the space balloon company, Space Perspective. Jane, good to have you with us. Thanks for sticking around. We left our interview with you talking about Felix Baumgartner's 2012 mm-hmm. history-making jump. And I think we should note that you were involved in the jump that then broke Felix Baumgartner's mm-hmm. record a few years later. Talk a little bit about your involvement in that.
Well, I'm so happy you brought that up because yes, indeed. So whilst Felix and the Red Bull team were working away on the Stratos record, we were watching closely and we were going to take the then Google executive, Alan Eustace, up to break his record. And we learned a lot from them. Certainly one of the things if you saw that jump that Felix made, I mean, it was kind of breathtaking. I was one of the 10 million people watching.
I was
live.
Too.
Oh yeah. I mean, at every moment it was like, oh, my heart was beating because, I mean, let's face it. You're about to jump out of a capsule. You're going to hurtle down from space. You're going to break the speed of sound before you open your parachute. Well, what he had elected to do was not use a drogue chute, which is a chute that stabilizes you, because the guy before that, Joe Kittinger, Colonel Joe Kittinger, who had done it, had used a drogue chute. It would have stabilized him, except did it because it's on a rope as he came out of his capsule, though it wrapped around his neck and almost killed him. He woke up just before he hit the ground and was able to save himself. Felix was like, no, we're not doing that. So he didn't use one. So then he jumps out and spins wildly. And bear in mind, he is a world-class skydiver. Mm. So he couldn't control himself. We were like, oh, no, we don't want any of that. So our team did an incredible job of making sure that Alan was going to come back to his family and really came up with some very innovative ways to stabilize him as he was coming down and putting all kinds of safety measures in place so that when he did go up to 136,000 feet
crazy.
In a spacesuit that our team designed and built, and it was the first new spacesuit designed, built, and operated in America in 40 years, which was amazing. So when he did eventually go up, We released him from 136,000 feet. He free fell for almost 5 minutes. He broke the speed of sound. The troposphere then slowed him down enough to where he could open his parachute at 12,000 feet and come in for a safe landing. And I have to say, I was thrilled when we had finished that project because it was done. We had succeeded and we weren't going to have to do it again.
Well, it's kind of fascinating to hear this. I want to ask you a little bit about your history. You've been in this world and doing interesting things for some time, but I want to take you back to, you were actually involved with Worldview, right? A former CEO. So another company in the space that is using balloons to shoot people high above the atmosphere, if you will. In December of 2017, they actually had a hydrogen-filled balloon that exploded at one of their facilities. And so I'm just curious, and I know things have been looked into and so on and so forth, but I guess the use of hydrogen, which you guys are using, correct, today, what are the risks in what you are doing? Nothing is ever risk-free.
So let me say several things. That accident, or I guess the incident, let's call it that, that occurred with that balloon was it was being used in a way that would not normally being used. And I don't want to take the time to go into all the technical details, but there was a lot of work done to really understand what happened there. And it's not anything that would be able to happen in the future because we're just not using the balloon in that way in the future. And of course, everybody thinks of the Hindenburg. I mean, let's just talk about the real tragedy in the elephant in the room, right? Well, the Hindenburg was 85 years ago, and it was an airship that was designed for helium, not for hydrogen. And that is really important because hydrogen is only flammable if it is in the presence of oxygen. And the way that that particular airship was designed, the way all the airships are typically designed, is you have a ballonet in the center of the airship that's filled with the gas. In this case, it was hydrogen. And then you have an air gap, and then you have the outer skin. Well, the air gap, everything tends to leak, particularly then because it wasn't designed for hydrogen, leaked hydrogen into that air gap. So now you've got this incredibly flammable mixture of hydrogen and air trapped inside this airship. Then the skin of the airship was painted in a daub that frankly was a fire starter. So when it was ignited by a spark from the pole that it was sitting on, that ignited the skin, which then ignited the flammable gas. Okay, so that obviously would never happen if it was actually designed for hydrogen. So now let's talk about how they are designed. So since the 1700s, balloons have been used, thousands of balloons have been used since the 1700s all over the world. And there isn't a single recorded incident of an accident attributed to the hydrogen. And that's simply because the hydrogen is inside the balloon. And if there is any leakage, it just goes out the top and goes straight up. There's nowhere for it to go that can get trapped. And so, you know, for us, it's a very, if you know how to handle it, and people all over the world use it, it's a very safe way to go. It's actually a better lift gas than helium, which is in such the other lift gas. And that is in such short supply now that even NOAA uses hydrogen in all of their weather balloons now.
Interesting.
So what would you say now is the because you're, again, as Carol mentioned, you're not the only company doing this, even though you're no longer involved in Worldview. Worldview is still working on this type of...
Actually, they're not. So that's super interesting you say that. So I just happened to see that they're really a remote sensing and remote communications.
So they're done with their space tourism operation?
I don't want to talk for them.
Okay.
What I will say is I saw a press release where they just raised some money, which was awesome. Congratulations to them. The money that they raised did not say anything about them doing space tourism.
Well, we'll have to catch up with them again because we've had them on the program before in previous years and they talked about that. What about Zafalto? In the last 40 seconds that we have? Because there are other companies doing this.
So look, I mean, yay. I mean, this is a huge market, right? So... this is a supply constrained market. It is not a demand constrained market. So this can handle a number of entrants into this market. And in many ways, we're at that stage, the early stage of this industry, where all entrants into this market actually help elevate and grow the market. So that's good for us.
All right. So end of the year, people will start going up just real quickly. End of the year, yes or no?
Yeah, around the end of the year, early next. Exactly.
All right. Cool stuff. Come back and talk with us some more. This is really cool stuff. Jane Poynter, co-founder and co-CEO of Space Perspective, joining us on this Friday. You are listening and watching Bloomberg Business Week. Carol Masser, Tim Stenovic. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.